Pastor, no place I'd rather be than in the house of God tonight. I hope you agree with me there. Thank God for the remedy. I love that song. If I could turn this on, probably should have turned it on before I got up here. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to be reading verse number 20, and then hold your finger there, and we're going to be reading Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 24, then we're going to go over to the book of Matthew, but I'll try not to go too fast. Thank God for the crucifixion. I thank God for dying for my sins, and I want to look tonight a little bit at how Christ was crucified and how Paul says that we should live like Christ was crucified. In some senses, and I want to look at that tonight and point a few things out to you. I hope it'd be a blessing. In Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. What does he mean? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you'll turn over to Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 24, the Word of God says, And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, with the affections and lusts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life, God. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to open your Word. Lord, break me and use me, Lord. Make me disappear. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, anoint me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, Father. Let your way be done in this house tonight. It's in your Son's perfect, precious, and most righteous name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I had a preacher a while back point out a few things to me about the crucifixion and about Christ being crucified. And we was talking, and I listened to a sermon of his as well, talking about how he wanted to live like Christ was crucified, and that confused me, and I didn't understand it when he had first said it. And the more we talked about it, the more I was like, wow, that actually makes a little bit of sense. When we look at Christ on the cross and we see how he was crucified, it shows us a little bit how we have to live and crucify our flesh just like Christ was crucified on the cross. But I want to point out some things that Christ really did that's really hard for us as Christians in our life to comprehend sometimes. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 27, there are a couple accounts of the crucifixion, but let's look at the crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 27, verse number 36, this is after he was nailed and he's up on the cross, and the Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there. And I'm going to go through a little bit, going back to verse number 26, and we're going to look at some of the things Christ did and some of the things that they did to our Lord and Savior, an innocent man that deserved nothing. Nothing but to be crowned and nothing but to be treated with perfectness. He has done nothing wrong. He's innocent. They know he's innocent. In verse 26 of Matthew chapter number 27, then they released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus. So we see that they scourged Jesus. They delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers and the men, they took him and they mocked him. They mocked his name. Now, I want to point something out about us as Christians. When you're living like Christ and you crucify your flesh every day, the same things will happen to you. And the first point I want to look at is how Jesus, dying on the cross as an innocent man, he was forgiving others. As he was dying on the cross, he was deciding to forgive others. We don't have time to go through all the accounts of the Gospels, but in one of them it says, Father, forgive them. An innocent man hanging on the cross. He deserves nothing. He doesn't deserve the punishment he has. He's hanging on the cross and he looks down and he died for the men that were spitting on him, and he died for the men that beat him, and he died and he forgave the men that hung him on that cross, even though he did not deserve it. Now let's apply that to our lives as Christians. It's hard to forgive others. When you're living like Christ and you're living the way you ought to, a lot of times, even within the church, people hurt you. And I'm not negating that you've been hurt. I'm not negating that someone may have really put you down. Someone may have tried to assassinate your personality and destroyed your family and destroyed your reputation. And they may mock you and spit on you and say things that just flat out aren't true. But Christ, that was what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he decided to say, forgive them. And as us as Christians trying to be crucified in our flesh, living like Christ, we look at him on the cross as he's forgiving others. Let's apply that to our lives, friend. Think about that. Dwell on that. When's the last time you said, Lord, I have some awe in my life and I have bitterness. I haven't forgiven somebody. I have a personal testimony of people in my life who I decided to have bitterness towards. And I had bitterness for a long time. And you know what God had to do? He had to take me and he had to break me. And I'm young and I haven't been through very many things, but friend, my life was going one direction. And I thought that I knew what was right. I was making a lot of money. I was living like I thought I was supposed to be living. I wasn't per se an alcoholic by no means, but I thought I was on the right path. And at one point I said, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to get to that point? He forgave me for running out to the world, friend. And he took me and he broke me. And the worst part of the breaking God did in me was when I realized I had to forgive those that hurt me. And I might be preaching just straight to myself tonight, friend, but it's hard to forgive sometimes. Is anyone with me? It's hard to forgive sometimes. It's hard when someone in the church, and when you know they said something that's just not true, and you know they're trying to destroy you, and you know they're trying to just put you down, they're trying to discourage you. People say this, people say that. They mock you, friend. They pretty much spit on you. They spit on your name. They spit on what you have tried to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to forgive that person. And it's hard. It's hard. I know it's hard. Before I was ever taken and truly broken, I had to get down and I had to say, God, the bitterness, just take it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get over this bitterness. I don't know how to forgive these people. And the Lord worked in my heart and he took me. And it took me to the point where I had to go to each and every one of these people. And there are personal people, they were close to me. Some of them were my family. I had to go to them. I had to say, I've had bitterness, friend. I had to go to some people that I used to go to church with. And I said, look, I'm trying to be used by God. And I cannot do it if I have bitterness in my life. I can't do it. There's people in this church that I had to go to. And I had to say, I forgive you because I cannot be used until I forgive others like Christ did. Until I get that bitterness out of my heart, friend. You have to get that bitterness out of your heart. We see that Christ was forgiving others after they did all the things that they had done to him on the cross. It's a struggle to forgive others, friend. You can't truly live the life in the Christian realm the way you were supposed to out in that world if you have that bitterness. The second thing I want to look at is how Christ had fervor for others. He had fervor for others. He was hanging on the cross, being crucified. And he was struggling. He was in a position that, I mean, could you imagine just hanging on the cross? Don't forget that he was innocent. You're not. He was innocent and he was hanging on that cross. And he decided to look down and he cared about his mom. He cared about his mother and he told her what to do. And he told her where to go. And he told her how to be taken care of. He looked down when he was in a bad situation. And he realized, and sometimes we need to realize, and man, I'll be the first one to the altar tonight because I'm preaching to myself right now, friend. Sometimes you have to realize you're not the only one in a bad situation. You're not the only one going through something hard, especially as a Christian. Because being a Christian in this world is inconvenient, friend. It's an inconvenient life. If someone out there says, lighten up, it's not that big of a deal. No. No, if you're living a convenient life as a Christian, you're not truly living a life as a Christian. Because it's inconvenient to truly live for Christ. He had fervor and he cared. Sometimes when you're in a broken position, it's when God can use you the most. And people see that you're hurting and they see that you still care about other people and you're not selfish and you're not saying, well, this has happened to me and you're feeling sorry for yourself and I've been there, friend. People say things. People hurt my feelings. I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive person. I'm not going to lie to you. I can go out there and I can work in 98 degree weather all day. No problem. It won't bother me. But when I get up here and I preach and I hear that someone said something, sometimes I just want to throw the towel in.
I'm like, man, no one cares. No one cares what I have to say. No, this is inconvenient. But it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about the Lord, and it's about the people that you're supposed to reach in your life. You don't even know who you're really reaching all the time. You have to have fervor for others, for when you're struggling yourself, so that you can make a difference in somebody else's life. In the middle of the crucifixion, man, in the middle of it, he's hanging on the cross. Just think about it. He's hanging on the cross, suffering and dying. Remember when you were in that position where you thought, man, I don't know how that bill's going to get paid. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And instead of coming to the house of God and thinking, maybe someone else in here needs me to be an encouragement to them, you walk in this house selfish and you think it's all about me. Have fervor for others even when you're in a bad situation. Christ did. He did it for you. And he did it for me. And we don't deserve it. Thank God for his fervor for others. Woo! Thank God for his fervor for others. Friend, we mock him. We disrespect him. I go out in that world and I make mistakes, and he forgives me every single time. He was long-suffering to me, and he reached down and he forgave me and he saved me from a devil's hell. Every time I make a mistake, he has fervor, even though I'm the one hurting him. I'm the one that's disrespecting him. I'm the one that said something I shouldn't say or did something I shouldn't have done. And he has fervor and he cares and he's long-suffering. We need to realize that other people are struggling too. It's not just you. Have fervor for others when you are in a bad situation, friend. We see that that's what Christ did as he was on the cross. He had fervor for others. And in today's world, as I said, it's a point of inconvenience to help others when you're in a bad situation. I want to point out something else. When Jesus was on the cross, there was a man next to him. There was a man next to him, and there were two thieves, and they deserved to be crucified. They deserved to be on the cross. And he had so much fervor that a man that deserved to be crucified, I mean, probably thinking in his head, this is a long shot. The Lord, will you remember me? I know. And he had fervor for that man. He said, you'll be with me in paradise, friend. He had fervor for that man who deserved to be crucified in the middle of his pain and suffering when they were mocking him and spitting on him and they put a crown of thorns on his head and he did everything right. He deserved nothing that was given to him and he decided to help somebody else when he was in a time of struggle, when he was in a time of hurt. He didn't just wither up in his feelings. He didn't just give up. He didn't just quit. He helped somebody else when he was struggling. Sometimes it'll encourage you, I find this true in my life, to grab a handful of those tracts out there, and when you're down, why don't you just go share the gospel? Because if you're saved and you have Christ in your heart, that will bring you some peace that I can't explain. I don't know how to explain it to you, but there have been times where I'm struggling. I'm hurt. I'm like, why did they say that? Why do they just want me to never preach the gospel again? Why are they trying to tear me down? It's not about me. It's not about you. It was about his father's business. He loved everybody despite how they treated him. Think about that. Think about that. We ought to have fervor for lost souls. This is a simple point, but we ought to have fervor for lost souls, friend. We have a world going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, people out there are mocking us, spitting on us. They disrespect the fact that we gather together. They hate us. And I realize that it's inconvenient. And it is inconvenient. But friend, you ought to have a fervor for those lost souls dying and going to hell. Why can't you just tell them, hey, all you have to do is say, Lord, I need you. It is nothing in your might. It's nothing in your strength. It's nothing that we have to do. Thank God he saves us no matter where we've been. We ought to have fervor for lost souls, friend. You ought to care for those people in that world. You ought not want your worst enemy to burn in hell. It never ends. It never ends. You can walk by so many people, day in and day out, through Walmart, Home Depot, at work? How many people did you decide to stop and say, hey, I need to tell you about Jesus? Because you could leave here, get in a car accident, you could burn into hell forever. And I'm guilty of it, friend. I've been in Lowe's and I've seen someone who the Lord has intentionally said, talk to him. I'm too busy, Lord. I got to get this done. I got to get this job done. I got to get these materials. I got to get this done. That man could be burning in hell right now for all I know. We ought to have fervor for those lost souls, friend. Christ had fervor for the man on the cross, the thief on the cross that deserved his punishment. Christ had fervor for him. I want to point out that Christ suffered until it was finished. Amen. This is a hard point. This is a harsh point. Jesus didn't quit on you. He didn't hang on that cross and say, it's getting a little too hot up here. It's a little too hard. I'm going to have a bad attitude. I'm going to say, I don't want this. It's inconvenient to look different. It's inconvenient to live like Christ. It's inconvenient to not listen to what the world listens to. It's inconvenient to not watch what the world watches. It's inconvenient not to talk the way everyone out there is talking. It's inconvenient. But Jesus didn't quit. Why are you going to quit and give in? We so often quit and give in. I was talking to someone just today. I was like, man, when people quit, that just gets under my skin. That just gets under my skin. Our dad didn't let us quit growing up. If we started a sport, we'd go through the whole season, whether we wanted to or not. Didn't matter how bad the experience was. Didn't matter what happened to us. Didn't matter if we got hurt. We went to every game, sat on the bench if we had a broken bone. We did not quit. It was embedded in me not to quit. I thank my dad for that because that's an attribute of Christ. When Christ was hanging on that cross and he was suffering and he was dying for your sins and for my sins, Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to finish this. I'm tired of this. They're spitting on me. They're mocking my name. They're saying this. They're saying that. They're disrespecting me. I'm going to quit. Are you going to quit? Are you going to quit, Christian? Are you going to quit when Christ didn't quit on you? When it was inconvenient to be crucified, I would beg to say it was inconvenient for Christ to be hanging on that cross. Amen. Inconvenient. To just go home thinking about how it is inconvenient to live like Christ. But that's what we are called to do every day of our lives, to crucify our flesh and choose to live like Christ, even when it is inconvenient. Amen. I would like to think that it was inconvenient for Christ to be crucified on the cross when he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve to be spit on. He didn't deserve to be treated the way he was treated. And he didn't quit. Christ suffered until it was finished. Paul said, I have finished my course. I made it. I worked. I did my best, Lord. I'm going to fail you time and time again, but I'm not going to quit. Don't quit, Christian. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Please don't quit. We have so many Christians quitting day in and day out. We have preachers quitting, just quitting because it's straight up inconvenient to be like Christ nowadays. We look so different. We act so different. It's easy to quit when it's inconvenient. Don't quit. Please don't quit. I beg you, don't quit on God. He didn't quit on you. If right now you're sitting in that pew, or you're watching this online, or you're listening to this going down the road one day, and right now you're thinking in your mind, it's just a little hard right now. A brethren hurt me. A brethren put me down. Someone in the church hurt me. It wasn't Christ, friend. It wasn't Jesus that hurt you. It was someone in the church. Don't quit on God. He didn't quit on you. And he's not quitting on you. Even if you end up in that world and you have to come back and say, God, I'm sorry. He won't quit on you. Amen. Don't quit on God. Amen. He didn't quit on you. Don't quit even when they mock you. Even when you want to throw the towel in, don't quit. True Christianity is inconvenient. I've said it over and over again. But as a Christian, you must not look like this world. That's why it's inconvenient, because we look so different. We look so different. I had a young lady at the gas station this morning make fun of what I was wearing coming to church. That's how inconvenient it is to go to church nowadays. I was wearing a suit. I thought I looked nice. And she made fun of me. And I was thinking, I'm just going to church. You know what she said? Psh, I don't think people really do that anymore. They don't care, friend. You know why? Because it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to get up and get yourself ready and presentable for the Lord and to come in here with an open heart and an open soul, ready for God to actually talk to your soul, not just your mind, friend, but to get inside your soul and bring you some conviction. It's inconvenient because then you have to go out in this world and live what you've promised God on this altar. And we fail. We quit. We throw in the towel all the time. God didn't quit on you when it was inconvenient. Don't quit on Him. I promise you, it will be worth it in the end. It's inconvenient to crucify our flesh every day. It's inconvenient to be a Christian. And this is what's happening to a lot of church folk today. We're not forgiving others. We don't have fervor for others. And I was talking about that world out there when I said fervor for others. But we're going to bring it back in to the church right now. We're going to talk about each other, all right? This can get real sensitive. We're going to talk about each other. Have fervor for each other. What do I mean? I mean, we have men and women falling off the wagon, figure of speech, falling off the wagon, and complete heresy is picking them up because we're not willing to reach down and have fervor for somebody. And we're not willing to reach down and say, you know what? You've been hurt. I'm going to help you. You know why? Because a lot of times we're afraid of our namesake. You think your name means something. And you think your name means something to the point where you can't reach down and help so-and-so. Well, so-and-so did that. So-and-so made that mistake. I don't want to be, like, in that position. I don't want to be put down in that point. It's a level playing field because we do nothing for salvation, friend. It is Jesus Christ who saves us. It is not by your strength. It is not by your might. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing you do. And we're letting brethren... I'm talking about people, the church. They're falling off going into this world, learning something, teaching something that's just straight up not true. And it's convenient for them because we weren't willing to bring them up because we're afraid of what someone will think. Oh, you preach for that person? You preach in that church? You preach this? You preach that? With him? With them? You hang out with that crowd? Yes, I do, because it's not about me. It's not about your namesake, friend. Lucas Hickman is nothing. Lucas Hickman means nothing. Charles Walston without Jesus Christ means nothing. When he gets behind this pulpit and preaches, and we have thousands and thousands of people watch, they're not watching this man. They're watching Christ through this man. Amen. There's a difference, friend. Amen. Samson, in the Old Testament, the story of Samson, I love it. I heard a brother preach this sermon one time, and it relates to today's world. In the church house so well. After Samson died, the Bible says, then the brethren came. Then the brethren came. And he said, why is it that they waited till he died? Maybe they were afraid of what people will think about him if they associated themselves with such a broken person. With such a broken person. Friend, Christ won't use you until you're broken anyways. You can't be used until you're broken. You can't be used until you're broken. If you think you're on your high horse and you're living life just perfect and you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, before you're used by Christ, you're going to be broken. Mark my words, you have to be broken because you have to realize that you are nothing. That was mean, but you have to realize that you are nothing without Christ. You have to be broken. And his next point was he said that they're afraid of what people will think with his namesake. And then he said, maybe they had an agenda. And I thought, man, what's he talking about? Yeah. So I listened a little more. Maybe they have an agenda. Don't let what brethren say about you make you quit serving the Lord. Because they might be wanting you out of the fight so they can have your spot. That's harsh. That's a hard pill to swallow. And this is another point he had pointed out, and it's sad, but it's true, is that a lot of times they're afraid to pull you up because you got caught doing something that they're doing, and they're afraid they're going to get caught if they help you. Yeah. It's all about self. It's all about what will they think about me? Yeah. What will they think about my namesake? What will they think about when they think about me? You don't matter. Jesus matters. You don't matter. You can say whatever you want about Lucas Hickman. You can lie and tell them that I'm doing whatever I'm doing, that I'm wherever I'm at. But friend, Jesus Christ knows where I'm at. He knows my heart. He knows what I want to do. And friend, my name means nothing without Jesus Christ. It's inconvenient to live the Christian life. It's inconvenient to be pushed down. It's inconvenient to pull someone up who's struggling. But Christ did that. And we're supposed to crucify ourselves with Christ. With Christ. We obviously can't be on the cross with him because it already happened. We can't be on the cross with him, which means we have to do it now. In our day-to-day lives, we have to do it now. You have to crucify yourself every day and live the way Christ died, because he died a perfect death. He lived a perfect life, and he didn't quit. He didn't throw in the towel. He finished it. And you have to live every day finishing, crucifying your flesh for Christ, no matter the inconvenience. No matter the inconvenience. I want to live the way Christ died. I hope after tonight that you realize that you should want to live like Christ died. Because he deserves it. It's not because I said it. It's not because I said it. It's because Jesus Christ deserves it. Thank God for saving my soul. Thank God for saving my soul, friend. When you think about what he did for you, it'll make you want to do that. If you're saved and you think about how he died for you and how he forgives you and how he loves you when you break his heart, friend, you'll want to crucify your flesh. You won't quit when that person says something. You won't quit when they do that, because Christ didn't quit on you. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. God, I thank you for dying the death that you died and suffering on the cross for our sins. Lord, we deserve nothing that you've given us. I pray that you would fill this building with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that if anyone in here has some type of conviction in their heart, not from me, Lord, but from the Holy Ghost, that they would deal with it and that they would realize that you are worthy of everything that we have. It's in your Son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen.